back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drantz here. We are live from the mobile Kintec studio at Rogers Arena on a Canucks playoff game day. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Canucks Talk is brought to you by Applewood Mitsubishi. Mitsubishi's 10-year, 160,000-kilometer powertrain warranty is bold, but they have over 100 years to back it up. Details at Applewood Mitsubishi in the Richmond Auto Mall. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. All right, we got Drantz here. Let's go right to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, April 30th. And, of course, the headline is the Canucks have a chance to eliminate the Nashville Predators in Game 5 tonight on home ice. Drantz, as I've mentioned a couple of times now, the Canucks can close out a playoff series on home ice for the first time since they did it in 2011 in the Western Conference Finals against the San Jose Sharks. It has been a minute, but that's what's on the line tonight. And I talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but I know you want to have your say as well. The stakes go beyond just creating a big moment for a crowd I expect to be really, really hot tonight. There's really meaningful stakes for this team and their aspirations beyond this series as well.
8.5 hours in the air of flying time. That's what's at stake, right? No, like, when you're up 3-1 in a series where almost every game has felt like a coin flip, you know, like every game has felt like a 50-50 jump ball straight up, right? Both teams could have won every game in this series. It could easily be 3-1 the other way. It could easily be 2-2. Probably 2-2 is the fairest outcome at this point, given that smash and grab that we saw in Nashville on Sunday. So on the one hand, when you're in a series where every game is like that and you've got a 3-1 lead, you got to like your chances of winning one of the next 3-50.
Yes.
The margin is relatively fat now.
Winning one
Canucks.
Of the next three rock fights between these two teams.
Right. And they really have been rock fights.
They have been absolute rock fights. But the flip side is, like, how many more rocks do you want to hit you in the process of winning one of those, right?
That, it's such a good point, right? The best way to shield yourself from the debris, right, from the stalagmites that these teams are hucking at one another is to end it as quickly as possible. If you're only able to play three more periods with, you know, McCarron bearing down on Quinn Hughes, great. That's ideal, especially given that Edmonton has a chance to advance against LA tomorrow, right? And you certainly don't want to be playing longer than them, right? You want maximum rest. You want minimum travel. Talkett, though, said, you know, we don't want to be desperate tonight, right? We don't want to be desperate tonight, and talked about the travel a little bit. And that's obviously correct. Talkett's trying to manage expectations.
Well, you don't want to, like, I want to see the Canucks play with desperation, but I don't want them to be like, oh my gosh, we're so desperate tonight.
No.
You know what I mean?
When you don't want this to snowball against you in the event that you happen to get unlucky tonight, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could play your game and get unlucky. That's we've seen that in this series, right? Arguably, Vancouver's best game of the series is the only one they lost, right? So, this is the margins are so fine. The Canucks have won 3-1 goal games, right? You'd love to finish it off tonight for all that would mean for rest, for limiting your travel, and on, and yet, you know, as good a spot as you're in, man, the way that this series has appeared to turn, right, in terms of what Nashville's been able to do, exerting real control over how and where the game is played, with that really amping up, in my view, as this series has gone along, you know, the Canucks do, they have a chance to move on. They have a chance to eliminate their opponent, and yet they also sort of have a chance to stem the tide. It's a really unique dynamic that we're sort of going into tonight in Game 5.
Well, yeah, I think that's part. I mean, I think the part about, somebody texted in just before you hopped on, like, what about some load management, given how physical this series is? And another texter responded, and I think it's a great point, like, load management is winning the series. That's the ultimate load management, is erasing games 6 and 7 from the schedule, and instead, you're probably just practicing. You're probably getting some rest and relaxation time. Oh, I don't know how much relaxation, but at least some rest time in, instead of playing these really, really difficult physical games. That is the pinnacle of load management, and it's something they can accomplish tonight. But I do think also just start to ease some of the concerns about the process, right? And Rick Tocchet, and we can talk more about this in the lineup section, but has been pretty adamant throughout this series that, hey, the tactic, the game plan is there. The guys just need to execute. And I think anything they can do to start executing, right? Like, it sounds ridiculous to say build some of that confidence when they're up 3-1. But again, we're talking about, you know, depending on the results of tonight, we're moving on from how do they win this series against Nashville to how do they have a long playoff run? How do they keep it going? How do they make the most out of potentially finishing off this Predators team in 5 games? And part of that is health, right, which we've talked about. Part of that is just improving the process an awful lot, right? And I think the circumstances set up for them, they have an opportunity to really capitalize on the position they've put themselves in and, you know, not just end the series quickly, but also hopefully play their best game of the series and really be riding that momentum into the second round, depending on, you know, how long the break is before round two could get going.
Miller kept referencing Canucks hockey. Mm. And again, there's so many conversations about identity that are nebulous and actually, like, you know, just hockey speak gobbledygook.
Yep.
And when it comes to the Vancouver Canucks, when Miller's talking about Canucks hockey, we actually have this wildly detailed sense of precisely what he means. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so unique because this team plays predictably, right?
Well, and Rick Tocchet has spelled so much of it out in such detail and such consistency for us.
And this team's executed it so yep. well, especially on home ice. So what does that look like tonight? Because, man, I think this team could use a Hallmark, settle it down, Vancouver Canucks hockey win. Right? And so what does that mean? Well, it means you score in the first 5 minutes, probably on your first shot. Canucks scoring on their first shot in two consecutive games, by the way.
Staple number one that Rick Tocchet wrote on the whiteboard in training camp, score on your first shot. Well, everyone's like, oh.
They've done it 13 times in 86 games. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, no, but get that early lead, right? And then do that forechecking thing and keep logging zone time in the Predators' end. Even as you, you know, are trailing, hopefully build the lead at some point, but very patiently with a Predators mistake that provides you an opportunity to counter, usually off a neutral zone turnover, and then just remove all air, all oxygen from the game itself. That's Canucks hockey. We know what it looks like. And given how games 3 and games 4 looked, given what the stakes are for tonight, if this team can come out and give us just a signature Canucks hockey performance, they're going to be in a very, very good spot.
Yeah, and for me, it starts with the forecheck as well, right? And, you know, I was making this point again before you joined the show, but hockey's all connected, right? So there's kind of a chicken and the egg thing where you can say, you know, are the Canucks having trouble forechecking because they're having trouble with their zone exits and they're spending so much energy moving the puck through the neutral zone? Or are they having so much trouble with the Predators' forecheck because they're not spending time in the offensive zone, right? And the Preds are having way too easy a time moving through the neutral zone. And you can kind of make either argument. But, you know, I thought it was really telling when Rick Tocchet was asked, okay, what can you do to limit the hits that Quinn Hughes is taking? The first thing he said wasn't, here's what the defensemen need to do better. The first thing he said was, play in the ozone. Have that ozone time. Avoid the one-and-done shifts. Generate those heavy shifts, because if you do that, Nashville's not going to have the juice or the speed to get in and lay those hits on Quinn Hughes. And to me, that's the element of – because we've seen some elements of Canucks hockey in this series, right? Like, I think of the work in the defensive zone in Game 3.
Yep. Really,
you know,
good.
Like, really, really strong.
I would even say in Game 4, as everything was, like – even in Game 4, their defensive zone coverage was pretty good.
Yep.
It was just that the Predators started to generate in bunches off the rush. And even when the Predators were generating in bunches off the rush, they had 3 2-on-1s in the second period. All of them were shot.
Mm.
Right? Which matters because that tells you how the defenders are playing it. Now, mm-hmm. Nyquist scored on one of them, and it was a glorious opportunity. But the fact that they are, even when they're exposed in the neutral zone, once the play crosses the blue line and the Canucks are in their defensive zone, they're giving their goalie the shooter and they're taking away the cross seam pass. That's how you want it.
Yeah.
Like that, in their own end of the rink, even as this series and even as the 5-on-5 flow has sort of gone against them at times, they've been really good. And I thought the fact that they were actually able to deny cross-ice passes off the rush, even when they were getting, in my opinion, ventilated in the neutral zone in Game 4, is still something you can hang your hat on,
yeah.
Even if that's not what you want, ideally.
Yeah, it's a good point, right? Like, the defensive zone play has been really good, and that is a Canucks staple.
Actually exceptional.
But the thing that's been missing for me from the Canucks' identity more than anything else has been the forecheck. And I think it's very telling that the two decisive goals in this series have been scored on Connor Garland feeds from below the goal line to Dakota Joshua in Game 1 and Elias Lindholm, because that can be such a powerful weapon for them.
Mm.
Like, it's won them two games, but you just need to see it more. You need to see it from more lines as well going into this game.
Yeah, well, you're not seeing it in volume because that line's not getting there in volume. And that to me, is part of the story. Like, the Garland-Joshua duo, they're at such a high level that they've found a way to tilt, meaningfully impact two of Vancouver's three wins in the series, despite the fact that as a line, they haven't played well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I'm still nervous about it, right? Because I have such high expectations for what that line can do. Maybe it's competition. Maybe it's still building chemistry with Lindholm. Like, I'm not sure what's going on, but that line is not, you know, an engine for the Canucks right now. It's just a bunch of good players who found a way to make a difference despite the fact that things aren't going their way. They're not running downhill the way you'd expect. We also obviously know how Pettersson has struggled. We know what Miller and Besser have done in this series. They're filleting Saros and the Predators' defense. You'd love to see that continue.
That'd be nice.
And then really quick, just so that we hit it in the whiteboard, Canucks goaltender officially day-to-day, officially a
game-time
decision, right? Sounds like DeSmith will dress and be one of the options. It's been reported by my colleague Rick Dhaliwal that Artur Seelovs will start. Artur Seelovs did, by the skin of his teeth, leave the ice first following Canucks' morning skate. So indications suggest that Seelovs will start and DeSmith will back up. However, Tocchet played his cards close to the vest, and so did the Canucks, even stage managing the departure of the two goaltenders from the ice at morning skate to leave at least some lingering doubt in the Predators' minds. We will see who Vancouver has between the pipes when the warm-up skate begins this evening.
Should mention as well, Rick Tocchet saying lower body injury for Casey DeSmith, saying he had a good day yesterday. So as you got from Tocchet, even if he doesn't start, sounds like he'll be the backup. Of course, he was the e-bug on Sunday in Nashville with Nikita Tolopilo starting. By the way, I loved Rick Tocchet yesterday, asked about his goalies. He's like, yeah, here, even this other guy is good. Rather than just saying Tolopilo.
He's
like, I don't know who this guy is, but apparently he's a good goalie.
I don't want to use him, though.
This guy's good too, really? So good from Rick Tocchet. Okay, we'll skip the broadsheet today. Lineup notes. So the big one is just no lineup change, and that sounds like it's going to extend even to the crease with Artur Seelovs, although, as you mentioned, that is a game-time decision. And, you know, my perspective on this, and we've had certainly people, a lot of people texting in, most of it focused around Elias Pettersson, right? Like, what do you do with Elias Pettersson? Where do you move him in the lineup? How do you juggle his line mates to get him going? And I don't think this is Rick Tocchet keeping the lineup the same is, you know, directly targeted at Elias Pettersson or anything like that. But my perspective is there's kind of two messages he's sending to the team here by keeping the lineup the same. One, I think, is just a vote of confidence, right? Hey, you guys are up 3-1. Yeah, it hasn't been perfect, but we're up 3-1. We have a chance to win. I think we can do it, so I'm not going to do anything that looks like I'm overreacting, anything that looks like I'm really disappointed with the team. I'm going to keep the lines the same. The other one, which I think is a bit more pointed, is, hey, you guys have the tools to play better. It's not about anything I can do here. It's you guys just need to go out and execute. Again, that's been a consistent theme for Rick Tocchet in this series, and I think he's just saying to the players, we have everything we need. We can win with this as long as we're on top of our game. We don't need to start getting really creative on the whiteboard. You know,
outside of the segment.
We can do it. And I think it's, you know, those messages are kind of two sides of the same coin. One, the kind of nice pat on the back message, and one, the but also you guys can do it. You can play better message.
And interestingly, playing for their playoff lives tonight, the Nashville Predators icing the exact same lineup as well.
Which I think similar messaging from Andrew Burnett. right? Like, hey, guys, we could be up in this series. We could easily be tied. We should be tied at the very least in this series. We don't need to change anything.
He better get a response, though. Like, coming off of just not changing anything in a 3-1 series, even just to, like, give everybody a boost or, like, add just a little bit more skill. Like, they have Cody Glass and Juuso Parsonen as options with their club.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to get just, like, a little bit more skill, a little bit of a different look in. You sort of hope that maybe that just sort of jogs something. I do think you're taking a risk in a 3-1 series sticking with your lineup, and yet I do think it's hard to criticize a coach for doing that given how games 3 and 4 looked. And how the Predators feel, you know, they should and probably do feel like, man, they've been unfortunate.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see what kind of response Nashville comes out with tonight. And I think it's a really good point about not changing it. And, hey, you better get a response from your players after that vote of confidence because you need an emotional response. It would be so easy to mentally check out of this series. And a texter made a really good point earlier, right? Like, think about the commitment and buy-in that both teams have had to have to play as physically and aggressively as they've had. Does that start to dip even a little bit in Nashville after the way game four ends?
This is why, too, a Canucks hockey start where you get a lead. You know, like, if you can start to frustrate and I mean, maybe there – I don't think you're going to get a discouraged – this team has accomplished too much. Like, there's too many individuals who have been around who have accomplished too much for this team to come out flat today. That's my view. But could you – render them flat as the game goes on if you're able to get the first goal and then build a lead, right? Like, and then capitalize off a mistake. Can you get to the point where, you know, that becomes more like that their belief really is tested? Can you drain that belief from them as the game goes along? It's a fascinating dynamic to track, and one where, honestly, I don't usually do this, but I woke up today and in my gut I was like, I feel like the Canucks are advancing today. But in my head, I'm like, I think the Predators have been the better team the last few games, so I'm not sure. I feel especially torn in terms of my feel for tonight's game.
We're going to chat later on with Emma Lingen, who covers the Preds for the Hockey News, and I'm fascinated to just hear a little bit like what the reaction has been around the organization from the fans. I've spent a lot of time thinking the conversations we'd be having in the alternate universe where the shoe had been on the other foot and the Canucks had lost a game like that. And like, oh boy, that's a dark timeline. That is a dark timeline.
Oh, no kidding.
In a hockey mad market if you lose a game like that.
Well, people were sharing the photo of the one crying Predators kid. And it's like, what about a 50-year-old man? You want that video, but with a 50-year-old man? Because that's
hundreds of them in the arena.
Hundreds. hundreds of white-collar professionals named Cam all cried at once.
Okay. Other lineup note that I wanted to mention.
Seriously, though, it's going to be a hot pants night.
It's such a hot pants night here at Rogers Arena. Other lineup note that I did want to mention. Rick Tocchet asked about Vasily Podkolzin, who, of course, hasn't played in this series, won't tonight as well with no lineup changes, and mentioning that, hey, it's nice to have him get this experience for a little bit, you know, seeing the playoffs up close, practicing with the team, being part of the meetings, all of that. But at a certain point, this guy needs to go play some playoff games. And, of course, with the Abbotsford Canucks advancing as well, they're playing a best of five. They'll host the final three games of that series against the Ontario Reign. Opens up the chance for Vasily Podkolzin to potentially go to Abbotsford. And Rick Tocchet not making it official, but certainly made it sound like that's something we should expect to see here is Vasily Podkolzin get some game action with the Abbotsford Canucks in the next little while.
Moving on to the gambling odds, the Canucks are favored at home very narrowly, -125, Predators +105 on the money line. Over-under is set at 5.5 with just a tiny bit more steam on the under, -105 for the under. One thing to watch is I've noticed across a variety of books, if you're looking at power play points, some of the books have been slow to adjust to the fact that Garland has been moved off power play one. So I've seen Elias Lindholm listed anywhere from like 6.5 to 1, 7 to 1 for to get a power play point. This guy could get a power play point. He's on power play one. He could deflect a shot.
100%.
So
they made a nice play across crease. I know it's 6-on-5, but still it's a Besser for the 3-2 goal.
Some places haven't listed it just yet, but if you keep an eye out in case those prices haven't adjusted yet. I think there's an interesting long shot opportunity there. I also just wanted to update everybody on my favorite tout pick from last week. The Dallas Stars evening up their series with the Vegas Golden Knights. I was telling everyone, buy them 25-1 to win the Stanley Cup. They are 9-1 today.
I think this might
That's a 4-day 25-1 and 9-1 in 4 days.
Dallas might be the team that makes you be like, you know what?
I'm
quitting hockey writing so I can professionally bet on hockey.
Wyatt Johnston has gone to plus 4,000 to win the Conn Smythe. He has the same odds as JT Miller. JT Miller entered the playoffs with plus like 400-1 odds to win the Conn Smythe. He's remained static despite being a point per game guy or 6 points
and
in four games.
And leading 3-1.
Yeah, and like doing some incredible stuff. Wyatt Johnston's gone from like 150-1 to four to well whatever 1,000+ to 1 to 400-1 in a matter of 2 weeks. Also now at 500-1 is Seth Jarvis.
Quickly, okay, that's the whiteboard.
You're
for
right.
Today.
Dallas is gonna break me.
Dallas is absolutely gonna break you. The fact that it's gonna be with Logan Stankoven too,
yeah,
is gonna drive you insane. IMAX going to join us in just a couple of minutes here, but quickly.
Before... Plus 550, by the way, for Lindholm power play point. So not quite 6.5-1, but 5.5-1. That's still like something you usually get for a PP2 guy. So
yeah.
Good value.
Quickly, on the NHL schedule tonight, four teams trying to stave off elimination, four teams trying to close out their series, right? So all 3-1, Bruins, Leafs, Hurricanes, Islanders, Avs, Jets, Preds, Canucks. There's a world where we could be left with only two first-round series going in the NHL after tonight if all of the teams that are up in their series take care of business. Do you have any quick feel for who you like to take care of business, who you like to do some staving tonight?
I think the Maple Leafs are going to win that series still. So and just a reminder.
That would be the perfect Maple Leafs thing.
Yeah.
After, like, the absolute implosion on the bench, the most heated.
Throwing your gloves.
Over.
Matthews hurt.
Yeah, Matthews is out today.
Yeah, none of it makes sense. But my pick in this series has always been that the Maple Leafs will win in the stupidest possible way.
Which is, it's setting up.
This is the script. I've got it right where I want it. I think the Hurricanes are going to dust the Islanders.
Yeah.
Robert Bertuzzo's not got another trick up his sleeve. I think the Jets can fight back against the Avs. And I think the Predators can fight back against the Canucks. I think both of those series are, in fact, closer than they appear. And to some extent, they're 3-1 because, like, UC Saros and Connor Hellebuck have been bad.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. Those guys aren't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys could absolutely turn it on and have a big game tonight. One thing to watch for, like, you know, I'm not a big tinfoil hat guy, right? But I do believe in Raheem Palmer, who's, like, a gambling analyst for The Ringer, has a concept called the A-team and the B-team, right? Which is, like, you never want to bet on the B-team, right? In a world where every other team advances by the time the puck drops for the Canucks, right, or where it's like clear that every other series is going to be over, the Canucks quickly flip and become the B team tonight in terms of how the game might be officiated. So just something to watch. Root for one of the teams to extend the series before puck drops in Vancouver this evening.
By the way, on the Leafs, Willie Nylander becoming the like hard edge guy telling his teammates to toughen up on the bench in the playoff series. Like,
what a heel turn.
What an incredible development. What an incredible development.
I also think we are going to look back. Like, do you remember we're only 36 months removed from Jack Eichel being like a loser?
Team killer.
Yeah, yes. Team killer, loser, mm-hmm. Doesn't win.
Well,
now he's like legitimately the guy who elevates the most in the playoffs.
This is going to be, I'm going to bring this up a lot in the Pedersen discourse in the offseason.
100%.
That's good. That's going to be my go-to reference.
I like that, but I also don't sleep on using it for Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Okay, we'll take a break. Ian McIntyre joins us next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.